Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Everybody, why don't you reach out your hands if you haven't already, just to God. If you're a guest here today, we want to say a huge welcome. So good to see you. We're not here to judge your journey, here to celebrate your steps. God is alive. He loves you. No matter where you're at, no matter what step of the journey you are on in life, whether you feel far, feel close, God loves you. So Father, we thank you that you're alive. That you love every person in this room. You know every one of us. You know where we're at today. God, we thank that you're kind, full of grace, and you meet us right where we are here today. We don't need to impress you, perform for you. Simply come, stand in your presence. We just say, Lord, here we are. We're here. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We're grateful, God. We're grateful, Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hey, everybody, can you just give it up for God one more time today? Woo! Yeah, come on. Come on, everybody, yeah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And while you're there, give it up for everybody who's a guest here today. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love all our Manly family. We love you. And we're going to have a great time together. Why don't you give someone a hug or a high five or a handshake, whatever is appropriate. And you may be seated. And Natty, you're good. Thank you. So good to hear from Charlotte today. And you know, I think when you're young, when you're a teenager, you kind of think you're invincible, don't you? All the teenagers, yeah, come on, people that are no longer a teenager, yeah, when you're a teenager, kind of think you're invincible, think you can do anything. And and you know, like, I remember in the schoolyard growing up in school, we would make, me and my friends, we would make lots of claims. And so we would make claims like, I can do 1,000 push-ups. I love football, so I can juggle the ball 1,000 times. I can surf 10-foot waves at 12. I could tackle you. I could smash you. I could beat you. I could get out of this, in this classroom. I could sneak out the window, get back in without the teacher knowing. Never did that. But, you know, make all sorts of claims, don't we? And I remember me and my friends, whenever someone would make a claim, like I can do whatever, we would all say one thing. Our response to whoever made the claim would be very simple. Two words, prove it. Prove it. You talk a nice game, but prove it. And the thing about the resurrection is the resurrection is the sign that Jesus proved every claim he made about who he was. And you need to understand that Jesus made a lot of claims. He made a lot of bold, big claims. He did not claim to just be some nice teacher, another nice icon for us to look at. He claimed, he said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is no small claim, everybody. He didn't say, hey, I'm a good option. I'm pretty good. Which would be more appropriate. But he said, I am objective truth. I am the source, the object of truth. I am the way to God. There's no other way to God. He claimed to be God. That's a big deal. Like if someone today comes up and says to you, hi, I'm God. You should call the police, a doctor, or run. That's a big claim. And this is the claim that Jesus made. And here's the thing. When you make a claim like that, you have to prove it. Otherwise, if there's no proof, you are crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy. C.S. Lewis said it like this. Listen. In his book, Mere Christianity, he said, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really, honestly, foolish thing that often people say about Jesus. They often say, I'm ready to accept him as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God, but let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. The resurrection is so central to Christianity. It is the proof that Jesus is God. And without the resurrection, Jesus is just another martyr. He's just another guy for a great cause. And everything we are doing is a waste of time. Without the resurrection, everything we do, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, is a waste of time. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, 14 to 7, he said, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Here's what's amazing, everybody. Without the resurrection, the Bible and every claim of Jesus can be completely ignored and is invalid. But if the resurrection is true, the Bible and every claim that Jesus made is vindicated. It is completely and utterly vindicated. And here's the thing, there may be people, and there may be people here today, and it can seem like, you know, to become a Christian, you have to blindly believe. You know, you leave your brain over there that God gave you. You leave it over there and you just blindly believe. And maybe you might be the kind of person who thinks, well, you know, I can't do that. But here's what I want to say. Christianity is built on wisdom and faith. Wisdom and faith are two sides of the same coin. They are not against each other. They are not opposed to each other. And the wisdom of God and the wisdom where we use our brain is based on evidence. There is evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, there is so much evidence. I don't have time to talk about it all today, but I'm going to talk about three. You ready? Number one, the body of Jesus was never found. Historical fact, never found. And so the Romans, we understand this, the Romans and the Jews had a vested interest in finding that body. They were very intent, very deliberate, and very motivated to find the body of Jesus. So it wasn't just, we didn't find it. They were trying to find this man's body. The Jews, because they needed to prove that Jesus was not the Messiah. To find his body would be proof that he is not who he claimed to be. The Romans, they needed to find the body so they could ensure that their rule and reign was settled and that what was happening could be snuffed out. So the body happens to be never found. Never found. The first eyewitness of Jesus' resurrected body was a woman. And in the ancient context of this text, if you were making up a story about this guy called Jesus who had rose from the dead, and you were giving an eyewitness account, that eyewitness account would never hold up in court or in any context if it were a woman. Calm down, ancient days. Okay. If you were making it up, a woman's testimony was never held as valid about something of this nature. So the only reason a woman would be in the text as the first eyewitness account of the resurrected body is if she was. The only reason you would include it is if it is true. If it is actually what happened. And then there's the disciples, the followers of Jesus. These were dejected, depressed, hopeless, feeling kind of people that God turned into apostles, who turned the world upside down. Something happened to them. Something took place in their life. They had purpose. They had passion. They had a meaning for life, and they had a meaning for death. What you need to understand is, if the disciples, some people say, the disciples, they hid the body. They took the body, they were hiding the body so that no one could find it. Here's the thing. The only issue with that is they were stoned to death. So these guys were killed for their witness about the resurrection of Jesus. They were stoned to death. One of them was hung on a cross upside down. They were beheaded. And they would never have gone through that if they had his body in hiding. They would never have embraced death for something that was a lie. They went through it because they knew the resurrected King. The resurrection defies every rule, every law, every possibility. I want you right now, name another religion where the founder has died and risen back from the dead. I'll wait. Name another icon, a historical figure or person that has changed the world, died and come back to life. there isn't another person in history who has died and risen again. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus. And in rising from the dead, he defeated death. Yeah, that's how I feel too. He defeated death. That means death is not final. Death is not the end. Death has no victory. Woo! It means you do not need to fear death any longer because Jesus rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, 54-57, it says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody. And this is what Jesus did. He took a dead end. He took death that was a dead end. He turned it into a doorway. He made death a platform for victory. He made a way where there was no way. And John 3, 16-18 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Bryce Harry, bring up my prop. Amen. So the resurrection means eternal life, thank you, sir, for all those that receive Jesus. And right here, I have a tug of war rope. Does anyone like tug of war? And what I want you to see is this rope. Actually, Bryce, come back up here. I need you. Don't you love Bryce Harry? I need this guy. I want you to go that way. Take the rope. Yeah, good man. Good job. Good job, Bryce. You're so handsome, Bryce. So good. Yeah, good. Can you see me? Here I am. All right. Online, can you see me? Here I am. So if this rope, tug of war rope, if this rope was to represent eternity, that side there where Bryce is, all the rope from my left would represent eternity. Don't sweat, it doesn't, but it's just an analogy. So the rope, let's say that represents eternity forever. And let's say that this small piece of the rope, which has got black tape on it, did it myself, no I didn't. Let's say this piece of the rope represents your life. So, you know, like born here, that was a good day. It was beautiful when you were born. And then you know, went to school about just like here, I think there. And then, you know, graduated high school somewhere there. You know, maybe went to university somewhere here. Can you see that? Just like, can you see that? Are you looking? Online, are you looking? Look, just there. And then you know, got a mortgage somewhere here. That was horrible. And, yeah, tried to renovate a house. That was dumb. And then somewhere here, you know, I think just in there somewhere, you were really worried about something. Can't remember what it was, but worried about something. And then you know, life goes on. And then maybe somewhere here, there's grandchildren, or you know, there's retirement somewhere just here. And you know what's so interesting? Is we are worried about things happening here that in the light of eternity, are nothing to worry about. That's why Jesus said, amen, that's why Jesus said,
Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about what you will eat. Does God not love the lilies of the field and look after the sparrows? Will he not look after you? Don't worry about this.
Celebrate if you have Jesus Christ in your life, that you have eternity. Eternity.
There is life after this life. The resurrection means there is life after this life. But without God, there is only separation from God after this life. And to receive the resurrection is to receive eternal life. Give it up for Bryce Harry. You may leave.
Thank you, sir. Jesus rose from the dead means he defeated death. It also means that he destroyed the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, so whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And I want you to understand this, there is an enemy who doesn't like you. There is a devil in hell who doesn't like you. And the reason he doesn't like you is not so much because of you, but because you are created in the image and the likeness of God. And he hates the image of God that is in you. And you are created with intrinsic value because God made you. God loves you. You are his creation. That's why the devil doesn't like you. And he so badly wants your life to be consumed with his plans, his purposes, his schemes, his works for your life. He does have works that he wants your life to be consumed with. And the works often have to do with our flesh, the passions of our flesh, the desires of our body, which are innate. But he wants to woo us into those things because the enemy, he'll get you trapped just like a fisherman tries to feed food to fish. Does anyone like fishing? A few people? I hate fishing. I suck at it. But I do know a few things. When you're fishing, you get a piece of bait, right? You get a hook. You take the hook and you hide the hook in the bait. Everyone with me thus far? You then get the fishing rod. You cast it into the ocean. The bait then floats around in the water, floats around. The fish see it and they think, "Woo! Free lunch." I mean, it's just bait just hanging there. How good is that if you're a fish? Like, I've never been one, but how good would it be? And so the fish are like, "Yes, this is amazing." It looks so good up front, doesn't it? So easy up front. And it is. And here's the thing about this bait. It doesn't taste bad. Come on. Are you all going to be really religious today? The things that the world offers taste good up front. they don't taste bad, feel bad. Taste good. But the problem with them is that hidden in the bait is a hook. And the hook was always designed to catch you. Do not be fooled. It was never designed to feed you. It was always designed to catch you, to get you entrapped, to get you stuck, to get you hooked up to things that are destroying you from the inside out. That's why the resurrection is so amazing. Because Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Every hook in your soul,
every addiction, every generational curse, everything that you have that has got you stuck, any abuse, trauma, pain from the past, anything that the enemy has used to entrap you. The resurrection means the works of the devil are destroyed. Woo! And the same power that raised Jesus from the grave now lives in you. The Holy Spirit will raise you into life and set you free from every work, from everything that has got you stuck. The resurrection, worship team, I'd love you to join me. The resurrection means Jesus was exalted as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Philippians 2, 8 to 10, it says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What is Jesus doing now? Jesus is not on holiday. Jesus is ruling the universe, and he rules the universe through the framework of the cross that says all things work together for good. That even in death, all things work together for good. All things in Christ work together for good. For those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And Jesus stands before in the court of heaven, and he silences the accuser of the brethren, the enemy who comes to accuse. And he says, "See, Father, I told you, Alex Lee, told you he's a sinner, told you he wouldn't measure up. Hey, he stumbled again." Do you know what Jesus does? He walks in and says, "Zivigood." Old movie. He says, "Shut up." He says, "Father, I have paid his bill in full." Listen. If the cross was the price paid, the resurrection is the receipt. The resurrection says, when Jesus says, "Father, here's the receipt," you cannot charge him twice for what has already been paid for. This is my son. He's covered by the blood. He's covered by the work of Christ. Be quiet, accuser. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because of the resurrected King. It means he is the authority that we come under. We do not have authority on our own. We have the authority of Jesus. The resurrection means that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. That's what it means. Everybody, close your eyes with me. Close your eyes with me. The resurrection means nothing is impossible for God. It means you're never too far gone. It means you're never too stuck. It means you are never in too deep. You are never too broken. You are never too addicted. You are never too alone.
You were never too depressed. You were never too anxious. You were never too old. You were never too young. You were never too bad. You couldn't be good enough. You were never too broke. And you were never too late. That the resurrection power of God cannot grip you and pull you up into eternal life. Set you free. Set you free.
Jesus will come back. He will return. C.S. Lewis, again, he said it like this. When the author walks onto the stage, the play is over. God is going to invade. But what is the good of saying you're on his side then?
When you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream. And something else, something you never entered into your head to conceive, comes crashing in. Something so beautiful to some and so terrible to others that none of us will have any choice left. For this time, it will be God without disguise. And then, at that moment, it will be too late to choose. There is no use saying you choose to lie down when it has become impossible to stand up. That will not be the time. Now, today, this moment is our chance to choose. God loves you so much. Everybody, can you stay in that place?
Nobody looking around. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, I bring this message to you out of love for you. God loves you so much. God knows you, cares about you deeply, that he died for you. And he's calling you right now, today. Not next Easter. Not next week. Today. And he's saying, hey, I'm here. I love you. Come. So all I want to do today, right now, is I want to invite you, if that's you today, you've never come to Christ before. We want to give you that opportunity. Really simple. We just want you to raise your hand and acknowledge that's me. And we want to lead you in a prayer. Maybe you're here today and you've known about God, or but you know it's time to come back. This is the year of your return. Not to things, not to expectations, not to cleaning up your life. That is not what you're returning to. You're returning to Jesus. He says, come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. My yoke is easy. You're not coming to a new burden that's going to weigh you down just like the old one you had. You're coming into freedom, coming into love that is unconditional, coming into grace that sets you free, truth that empowers you, coming into eternal life that starts now. If you know that's you, you can feel God just knocking on the door of your heart. Everybody, right now, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I'll count to three and just raise your hand. We have team that are going to give you a Bible after the service, serve you, help you in any way they can. But everybody else, I want you just to, out of privacy, just close your eyes. If you're here today and you know in your heart that God is calling you to receive Jesus, this is your moment right now. Raise your hand. Count of three. One, 2, 3. Who is there today saying, that's me? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Who else is there today saying, that's me? Thank you. Up the back. Well done. Beautiful. Anybody else is saying, that's me? Thank you. In the middle there. Well done. Anybody else? There's more people. There's more people. Who else is there saying, that's me? That's me. That's me. Who else is there? You're saying, that's me. Thanks, young man. So proud of you. Well done. Thank you. Who else is there today? Maybe you're online. Come and receive Jesus today. Who else is there? I have senses, other people in this room. And there's a wrestle. I feel like there's at least three more people. There's a wrestle in you. Just come. Come to Jesus. Don't worry about the details. He will look after it with you. Who else is there today saying, that's me? Thank you. I see that hand at the back there. Beautiful. Thank you, my man. Love you. Well done. Anybody else saying, that's me? I get the sense that there's people that are wrestling with what this means. This kind of, thanks, sweetheart. Well done. Crossing that line. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, young man. So proud of you. Well done. I feel like there's just a couple more people. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time. The time's now. The time's now. Thank you. Well done. So proud of you. Who else is there today? This is the time. Time to let go. Let go of any sense of worry. Throw caution to the wind today. This matters more than anything else. And this is that step. Just a couple more seconds. Maybe you're coming back to God. Come back today. Come back. Return to Jesus. It's not about coming back to church even. It's about coming back to Jesus. Where are you with Jesus? Come back to Him. A couple more seconds. Thank you, everybody. This is so important. Maybe you're here today just hoping I'm going to finish. He'll finish soon. I will, I promise. But I just want to make sure you've had the full opportunity not to postpone this. Don't postpone this. It's not about going and getting everything right and then coming to God. It's about coming to God and then God will work it out with you. He makes you right. You don't make yourself right. God makes you right. God makes you whole. He is the great physician. He is the healer. He is the one that does the work. So come to Him and He will faithfully guide you. lead you.
5 more seconds. Anybody else? 5, 4, 3. It's a long 3, 2. We love you guys. We love you. Here it is. Thank you. I see that hand. Woo.
Amazing. I feel like I need to count again.
Five, four, three. Thank you.
Beautiful. Oh, you got me good. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm just going to count again. I know it's a process. I totally get it. It's okay. But we're with you. We're with you. It's wonderful. Your hand there. I see that hand. Beautiful. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, my bro. So proud of you, man. Well done. Anybody else? Five seconds. You ready? Now's the time, anybody? Anybody else? Now's the time. Come. 5, 4, 3, 2. Thank you, young man. I see that hand. God bless you. Amazing. Thank you.
So here it is. If that's you, last moment, raise your hand if you want to give your life to Christ today. Anybody else saying, that's me? Amen and amen. Everybody, yeah, why don't we put our hands together? Woo! The best thing that could ever happen. Everybody, can you just one more moment? Let's say this prayer together. Look to God. Say it from your heart today. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for eternal life. And thank you for a new beginning. In Jesus' name. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for every person that raised your hand. Raised their hand. Raised your hand for you, Lord. Yeah. And said yes to you, God. We thank you for them. Fill them with peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. Lord, do a fresh work in every life, Father, that has said yes to you. Lord, we pray, if you need to get water baptized, come next week. If you said yes to God today, take that next step of being fully immersed, a public declaration of your faith in Christ. Come next week, get water baptized. But Father, we thank you for all that you've done today in our midst. Thank you for the resurrection in Jesus' name. Everybody, why don't you stand up one more time today? Stand up, stand up, stand up. And let's sing What Other King one more time. Let's sing this.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.